Good morning and welcome to this worship service online. Wherever you might be, whether in your living room, maybe in your bed still, I think of the words of Jesus when he tells his disciples, according to Matthew 18, that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in their midst. And therefore, we are gathered together, although not physical together, we are together spiritually. And I know that Christ will see us through these difficult times and be with us, even in this morning when we worship together online. A reminder that our online worship is a joint service between Liberton Northfield Parish Church and also St. Andrew's Lambriden Urquhart Parish Church up in Murray. And therefore, our prayers and our readings will be shared between our two parish churches. I ask you this morning to join me in the prayer of approach, to ask the Lord to guide us and to be with us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we need your presence on the long road. The road between fear and hope. The road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Therefore, Jesus, we ask, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship this morning be hallowed. We pray this in your name as Father, as Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace be unto you. Amen. Let's greet back with the words of Mission Praise number 14, where the hymn text reads, "All heaven declares the beauty of the risen Lord." Let's sing this wonderful hymn as praises and as worship unto our Lord and Savior.
Declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone.
Gary Brown, member of Liberton Northfield Parish Church, will lead us in prayer for this worship service this morning, and Gary will also lead us in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our scripture reading this morning comes.
Let us pray. Dear God, we give thanks that you are a holy, righteous, and loving God. We give thanks for the wonder and beauty of your creation all around us. Help us, Father, as individuals, communities, and nations, to cherish and respect all things created by you. Thank you, Lord, that you love this world so much that you came to earth in the person of Jesus to free us from sin and death, and that we can have salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we pray your Spirit will be upon us, so that our hearts and minds may be open to your presence and your will. Dear Lord, we pray your blessing upon Ati as he brings your word to us this day. Lord, thank you for the blessed assurance of Christ that he is alive and at work in the world this day and every day. And hear us, Lord, as we pray the prayer Jesus taught his disciples when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. And the two readers this morning will be Gary Brown from Liberton Northfield and Christine Mutch from St. Andrew's Lambride. But before we listen to this morning's scripture reading, let us sing a hymn as a prayer to hearing the word of God. And it comes from Mission Praise number 528, and we sing verses 1 and verses 5. The first verse, O worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. A wonderful blessing and a praise in that verse. And then verse 5, saying something about our situations. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Worship the King, all glorious above. O gratefully sing his power and his love. A shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and their rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.
As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Thanks be to God for this reading. Amen.
If I would ask you, how much exercise did you get the past week, or did you have the opportunity to move about, then I'm sure most of you will feel the same as I did, wanting to get danger tape and cordon off our kitchens, or duct tape to just cover the fridge door, because most of the time it's only our jaws which moves up and down chewing on something. But luckily here in Scotland we have the privilege during daytime to move about, a privilege which other countries and places does not necessarily have. But yes, movement. When we speak of movement, I think movement occurs in various ways. It's not only physical movement. When you switch on your television and you see a program or watch the news, when you pick up your telephone or send a text message, write a card to someone, send an email, our thoughts and our emotions are being moved. And movement we find all through our lives in different times and different sections and sectors of our lives. When we think of the reading of this morning, Luke 24 from verses 13, we hear that there's movement all around in this text. In this episode of the Emmaus Travelers, we hear 9 times of verbs describing some sort of movement. The first is when we hear that the two travelers are heading back home, they are going back home in verse 13. And then again we hear Jesus came near to them. And we hear they came near to Emmaus. And Jesus walked ahead of them. He went in their home to stay with them. And then he vanished from their sight. And they got up and they returned to Jerusalem again. Now some of the verbs described in this passage tells of movement made either by Jesus or the two travelers, where Jesus hands out the bread or break the bread. I can imagine movement being part of it. Now either way, both Jesus and his followers are on the move. But it's not movement per se or for the sake of movement. The moves being mentioned here has a purpose. It tells us the story. It tells us that Jesus are part of our everyday life in all different movements of life. We see as being Christians, being church, being disciples, that we are in continuous movement. Some may find themselves on the road of life currently facing real challenges. For some individuals, for some families, for some congregations, we know it's tough times. And some of us today will know disappointments only too well. And we hear the words of these two travelers on their way back home echoing in some of our lives, maybe saying, well, I had hope for. I had hope for some outcome. I had hope for some answers. I had hoped for some relief. I had hoped for. And we can fill it in ourselves through our lives. For some others, the movement of life is filled with joy. It's filled with happiness, filled with resurrection. The joy of Jesus being the giver of life. And that's also good. And for others of us, we find ourselves in a place between joy and disappointment of life. But I think the first thing I see in this chapter and this episode of the Emmaus Travelers is that regardless of where you are, of where your movement is, God is with you. Jesus is with you. A further appeal which I see in this text is the following. We see people, these two travelers, going back home, back to their ordinary life, who are saddened that their greatest hopes have not come to pass. Now, in spite of what they knew, all the stories they could rehearse about Jesus, in spite of the witness of others, someone like Mary Magdalene, these two had not seen Jesus. And they were really disappointed. The prophecies of Jesus' hope and of his redemption, I can imagine, grew cold and were not able to sustain them anymore. And they began to suspect that the whole thing might have been one big mistake. A worthy hope and one unlikely ever to be realized. Now, in spite of what they knew Jesus was not with them in the beginning of their journey back home. For them, Good Friday was not that a good day. Time had passed and there were no change, no resurrection and no Jesus. And here we find the progression of the text and I believe another appeal leading towards our own lives. Yes, time also passes for us as we each find our ways back home. We outgrow our hopes, or we become more realistic, and we no longer expect anything real to happen in our lives. We also know the stories, we know the Bible, we know the biblical word. Notice that even when Jesus propounds all of Scripture to these two travelers in the story, they do not recognize him. Like Cleopas and his companion, I see myself in there, and maybe you can see yourself too, talking endlessly. And I wonder to myself, how many library shelves, how many books, how many articles are written about God, about Jesus, about faith. Theologians, magazines, devotional books, full of them. Most of them pro-faith and pro-God, and some describing the cons of it. Our talk does not always lift our sadness or our lowered expectations of what God could do or would want to do. There's actually a kind of resignation in all of this. Both Luke's story and that of our own lives, saying, get real, grow up, just go back home and continue your life. And I can only imagine how the families and the friends of Cleopas and his fellow traveler would have offered them advice and opinions when these two eventually got back home, long unattended to work and their family obligations. But you see, these two, they go home, but they don't go home, or at least not right away. Because the heart of this passage is the place where the dynamics changes in the meal where Jesus and these two travelers are joined together. This is a strange little episode in its own right. The two travelers have to nearly force Jesus to stay with them. Now the verb which is being used in this text means to twist someone's arm or to compel. The two were so eager for Jesus to stay with them that they would have almost forced him to stay there. But it did not come to that because, of course, Jesus was planning to stay with them. In fact, Jesus was with them all the time along. It was typical of Jesus' characteristic of caring, of giving, of feeding, of looking after his sheep. Whatever way you want to describe the blessing and the handing out of the bread of life, suddenly and fully they recognized that Jesus was with them all along. Now when reading the Gospel of Luke, Jesus spends a lot of time eating with people of all backgrounds, of all sorts. In fact, Jesus told his disciples at one stage, "Do not worry about life, what you will eat or what your body needs, or what you even will wear during the day. I, the Son of God, will take care of that." In feeding others at the right time and in receiving the bread broken for us with thanksgiving, obviously, we are given Jesus in all the movements of life. And therefore I ask myself, is this not saying to me, just stop talking a bit. Stop everything just for a while and pay attention as you reach out to receive what is blessed, to receive and rediscover what is given to us all around where we move, even in our homes, in the places we are currently in. And in that, have a glimpse of the Lord, having new confidence, having hope, even a new way of remembering. Of remembering that what I have, where I am, who I am, comes from God. Cleopas and his companion are us. They represent us. They know disappointment. They know joy. They know a lot. And they care a lot. They think about things and they are saddened by the diminished hopes. But more important, they don't even know that their eyes have been closed until they've been opened. Now, we can't control the one who opens the eyes of people. But from this account, we might find hope that Jesus walks with us. And that Jesus is in fact with us. We do find hope that in the breaking of the bread, we catch a glimpse of our Lord. This is also part of being disciple, continuously discovering him and his ways in different times of our movements in life. And therefore, I challenge you this coming week, wherever you are sitting, whatever you are doing. One thing I quite often do is I have a look at my arm, to the skin and to the veins, and then ask myself, and who made this? This is the Lord. This is more than the gift of life. This is something no human being can ever do. What I have, to breathe, to have something to eat, to have friends, to have family, even though we can't be together with each other always. This is where I discover the bread of life. This is where I discover God in the everyday moment. So the challenge would be to look around your everyday life, to your own being, around your home, inside, outside, where you move about. That's the challenge, to discover and rediscover Jesus Christ being with you, God being present. Amen. I will do a prayer to dedicate our offering and our lives to the Lord. And as the treasurer at St. Andrew's Lambrad-en-Urquhart Church pointed out, a lot of people are giving their offerings via donations, on online banking, or even making once-off payments. And as I said last week, we can still bring our offering and keep it aside until we see one another. So let us pray to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, the gift which you bestow upon us, living from it daily, weekly, annually, lifelong, the gift of life, and helping us to orientate ourselves, helping us making sense of life, knowing and rediscovering you as the traveler companion throughout our lives, the bread of life, breaking it for us. Therefore, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us. And today we bring our offering, our lives, our everything to you, Lord, recognizing that many blessings we enjoy comes from you. Our life comes from you. Therefore we pray, use it for the sake of others, that your love for all of your children might be seen in the priorities of the church nationally, through our congregation's work locally, on the mission field, and wherever you want it to be used in your kingdom, for the sake of you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our intercession prayer is written by Yvonne Pearson, a member from St. Andrew's Lambrad-en-Urquhart Parish Church. Let us join with her and her prayer for the world, for our church, and for ourselves.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts for all that we see around us. We thank you that we have time to linger and appreciate the spring blossom, the arrival of the swallows, the call of the cuckoo. We pray for all who are working so hard in so many ways to get us through this tough time. We remember before you the sick, the bereaved, the lonely, the anxious, those who are out of work, and those with medical conditions whose treatment has been put on hold. We bring before you all charities who are lacking funds because of cancellations of major fundraising events like the London Marathon. In Lambrad-en-Urquhart, we think especially of Christian Aid, the charity we have supported over the years. Please show us other ways to give financial support. There is so much need at home and abroad. Thank you that as we worship together, a link is being established between our two congregations. My prayer this morning is not that we get back to normal, but that we move on to something better. These thoughts are wonderfully expressed in a prayer by Albert Bogle of Sanctuary First. Lord, bring about your vision of a world at peace, a world ruled by the Prince of Peace, a world where anger and aggression have ceased, a world where there is enough for everyone. Lord, now that the world has stopped, now that the volume has been turned down, help us in this time of stillness, this time of isolation, to listen to your voice, to hear your tunes of tranquility. Help us to discover the peace before the world starts turning again. Give us the peace and the wisdom to make new plans, better plans, plans for the common good, plans that will change our hearts and change our priorities, putting peace before power, faith before expediency, love before logic, and truth alongside compassion. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning comes from Mission Praise 559. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. A wonderful hymn which I didn't know prior to this week, and now I can't stop singing it. It's a glorious hymn saying, God, thank you for being the one throughout life, throughout movement, even through sins, but through redemption, loving us and caring for us. Mission Praise 559, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. All three verses.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, all earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. And glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
The Lord will set out before you to prepare your way ahead. And the Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. And the Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. And the Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. And the Lord will be above you to bless you. And the Lord will dwell within you so that you may live from his love and his grace. Amen. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week ahead. Let us sing the Amen as we normally do in our church tradition.